Morning. Welcome to worship today. If there ever was a man who had a complex job, it was John the Baptist. And I'll share a little bit more with you about that as we're introduced to the sermon today. But if there ever was a man blessed by God with the ability to keep it simple, it was John the Baptist. Such a simple message for us today. It gives us a plan for our lives and a purpose for our lives, and that is to look at and look to and look for the Lamb of God. Because in the Lamb of God, we have Jesus, we have everything. And again, it is our Epiphany season theme where we praise and thank God that He shares our Epiphany Lamb with us. So we praise and thank God for that. We look forward to learning more about the Lamb of God and how the Lamb of God gives us a plan for every day, today, tomorrow, the next day, and a purpose for today, tomorrow, and the next day, and eternity for that matter. I look forward to sharing those thoughts with you through the lessons as well as in the songs that we'll sing this morning. We open worship today with our opening hymn, an Epiphany hymn, hymn number 80. Let us worship the Lord. Please stand. The worship of our newborn King continues on page 3 in the worship booklet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
God invites us to come into His presence and worship Him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask Him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed You in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve Your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sin, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
all that we need in life and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord. For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ. For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord. Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care. Amen. The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise.
Almighty God, you gave your one and only Son to be the light of the world. Grant that your people, illumined by your word and sacraments,
may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and believed to the ends of the earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. In our first lesson, a series from the prophet Isaiah, God continues to reveal his Son, our Savior, to us through prophecies, promises he made about our Savior, the Messiah. And again, please continue to note the ongoing inclusive nature of these promises. They are for all people, for all kings of every nation. A promise God fulfilled through his nation, through his people Israel, but a promise that he made for all. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength." He says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob, and to bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of the rulers. Kings will see you and stand up. Princes will see and bow down, because of the Lord who is faithful,
the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you.
This is the word of the Lord. We join together to sing our psalm of the day, Psalm 89. It's on page 7. We'll sing the entire psalm in unison, Psalm 89. The second lesson is recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Here St. Paul shares with you and celebrates the blessings we have of the Epiphany, that God has revealed his Savior to us, knowledge he has not kept hidden, but has revealed to us his love in the man and work and person of our Savior Jesus. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. This is the word of the Lord. Alleluia. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Alleluia. Please stand as we read from God's Gospel this morning. The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in the Gospel according to St. John chapter 1. And this lesson will be the basis for the sermon today.
The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him, except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent the day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated as we sing together the hymn of the day, hymn 288. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord shines around you. May the glory of God, as you have seen in his Son Jesus, be with you today and always. Amen. So I wanted to spend some time thinking about the gospel with you this morning. And there are moments in life where you do have to have an answer. You have to have the right answer. Sometimes you have longer to think about it than other times. Sometimes you just have to sleep on it because the next day you are going to have an answer. Sometimes the answer just comes to you, and it comes to you because the Holy Spirit lives in your hearts and he gives you the words to say. I may have told you this story a number of years ago, but I got to go on a field trip to Calaveras Big Trees, first and second grade, and we're going around the trail. Very nice tour guides, very intelligent people who can tell you a lot about the park. And we're going past this one particular tree, and the gentleman was explaining a particular feature about this tree, about how fire-resistant the bark is. And we gave the kids a little talk, and by we, I mean Miss T gave the kids a talk. You're going to hear some Mother Nature talk. You're going to hear some evolution talk. And so she reviewed that God made the world and that God preserves the world. And so we're going along, and sure enough, there's some Mother Nature talk and Mother Nature, you know, this and evolution that. And then the tour guide paused and asked a question, you know, why do you think it is this way about this tree? And one of our kids raised her hand and she said, because God made it that way. And the tour guide stopped, and he paused. Well, I guess that settles that. And then we went on with the tour. One short, simple answer, and she didn't prepare it, she didn't plan it, she didn't spend all night or all morning worrying about it. She just said it. A simple confession, a simple witness of her faith. So John the Baptist, maybe a little more complex situation. He had a big job. His job was to reveal Jesus as the promised Messiah to God's people, to the religious leaders of the time, and to the common people of the time. And although it was a simple job to do, it was very complicated because it had been about 400 years since God spoke to his people through a prophet. It had been about 700 years since God's prophet Isaiah shared promises like the ones we had in the first lesson for today about how he would act. He would send a Messiah. He would send his servant. And so there was a little bit of a void. And there were some people who took it upon themselves to fill that void, not with the messages that the Lord shared, not with the words of the prophets, not even with the good news of Messiah that John the Baptist would bring. These religious leaders, they filled in the gaps with rules. And yes, most of them were in the Bible, but a lot of them weren't. And they used that position of influence and power and authority to really make a name for themselves. And did some people come to know the Messiah? Were people? Yes, they were. However, John the Baptist was up against a group of people who felt threatened by him, because they liked the influence that they had on the people and the certain power and authority that they had, as they could tell the people, this is what you're going to do or else. Earlier in John chapter 1, John gives us a little bit of background as to how these people were interacting with John. Now, this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders, that's who we're talking about, the priests, the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to John to ask who he was. They didn't really want to know. They wanted him to stop. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not Messiah. Finally, they said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah or Elijah nor the prophet? I baptize with water, John replied, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. And after some discussion, everybody went home for the evening. So now John the Baptist has a job. He has to give an answer the next day. And what's he supposed to say? He doesn't want to goof up. He doesn't want to get in trouble. He doesn't want to offend anybody. What's he supposed to say? The next day,
John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one about whom I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." Isaiah said he was coming. And God made that promise, and God showed the Messiah to John the Baptist. And what was John's strategy? What was his big plan for the big confrontation? "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And did it work? I suppose you could argue back and forth. Did some of them listen? No. Did some of them listen? Yes. Did John do exactly what God said he should do? Yes. John's plan was to have people see the Lamb of God. The next day, too, was going to be the challenge. How should John introduce Jesus to his disciples, to the average Joe? How was that going to work? These are people who are highly, heavily influenced by the teachers of the law, by the Pharisees, by the priests, and by the Levites. His plan was the same thing. The next day, there again, John was there with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent the day with him. It was about the 10th hour. So simple yet so powerful. John showed them the Lamb of God, and the Holy Spirit worked faith in their hearts, and they immediately went and followed Jesus. But now Andrew has a problem, doesn't he? Andrew needs a plan. How is he supposed to tell anybody about the Messiah? How is he supposed to take all these promises and prophecies from Isaiah and share them with anyone? He needs a plan. Well, what is Andrew's plan? Andrew goes and finds his brother, and he says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ." And apparently the plan worked pretty well, didn't it? As not only did Peter leave his fishing job to follow Jesus, but God was with Peter and the Holy Spirit used Peter to write a book of the Bible. Even after everything that Peter had been through, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, look, the Lamb of God worked. It was a powerful plan when John the Baptist went up against the influential teachers. It was a powerful plan when John the Baptist shared it with his disciples. It was a powerful plan when Andrew shared it with his brother Peter. And so, do you need a plan today? A real plan? A good plan? And do you need some purpose for your life? It's good to have a plan, especially when you start thinking things spiritual. It's good to have a plan, especially when you look in your heart and you're not so happy with what you see, some of the things you've done, some of the things you've said, some of the ways that you've lived. You need a plan, don't you? When you come to grips with the fact that one day you're going to have to meet the Almighty. And what are you really supposed to tell him? I suppose you could come up with a few plans. One of the plans, you could plan to pay off God. You know how the jokes start? You go to meet God, and there's Peter standing at the pearly gates. And I suppose you could come with some sort of bribe, and you could try to bribe your way into heaven. Or I suppose you could start the installment plan right now, and you can start paying for your own sins right now, so that maybe, hopefully, by the time you get there, you'll at least have a start. You'll at least have something to give to God. Or you can check out, because we're talking about sin, and nobody likes to hear about that. And you can pretend you don't have to deal with that. You can deal with it later. Or you can go with the plan that John the Baptist gives you. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Just stop and think about how that plan worked for Peter and some of the struggles that Peter had. We talked about it last week, right? He denied his Savior. Peter was a sinful man. And what was he supposed to write about in the Bible? Well, the Holy Spirit inspired him to write about the precious Lamb of God that is the payment for all of our sins. It's not gold. It's not silver. It's the blood that the Lamb of God shed for us on the cross. And that worked for Peter. Peter saw Jesus as the Lamb of God who took away all of his sins. Look to the Lamb of God who takes away all of your sins too. Peter wrote, "For it is not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake." That's your plan. Look for the Lamb of God. And where do you find him? You find him in God's word. You find him in the words of Peter. You find him in the words of John the Baptist. You find him as he lived a perfect life for you on the pages of Scripture. You find it as he breathed his last for you and said, "It is finished. All your sins are paid for. All your sins are taken away." And that includes the sinfulness that lives in here. And that includes the sinful things that you've done. And that includes the consequence of your sins and mine. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, takes them all away. Don't let your plan be that you're going to pretend you don't, or start an installment plan, or hope to God that when you get there, you have enough to offer him. Have the confidence that you have exactly what to offer him, the Lamb of God that he offered up for you. And so what about your purpose? The purpose is the same purpose that Andrew found. Your purpose is to glorify God. Your purpose is to live for him. Your purpose is to share the Lamb of God. And we're going to have a unique opportunity to do that in about 4 weeks or so, where we are going to have a Friendship Sunday. And it's not a light and fluffy Sunday where we're going to get together and just feel all good about ourselves. But it's a Sunday where we are going to celebrate the friendship we have with our Savior, Jesus. He is pleased to call you his friend because he lived for you and he died for you. And then we're going to have an opportunity for you to introduce your friends to your friend, our Savior, Jesus. And is something like that really going to work with your friends? Is that really a good plan? And is that really a good purpose for your life? Is something as simple as, "Well, come and see the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world"? Let's just stop and think for whom that plan worked. John the Baptist. He had a huge responsibility, a big ministry that God called him to carry out. And one day after the next, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And it worked. There were people who were following John the Baptist, looking for Messiah. And John's plan was, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And it worked. Andrew said to his brother Peter, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And it worked. There is probably someone in your life, someone in your circle of friends, who needs the Lamb of God. And you don't have to have a big plan. You don't have to put all the responsibility on you. Your job is to say, "Look, the Lamb of God." And the Holy Spirit will do the rest. He did it for John the Baptist. As John trusted, this was his Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. And he will do the same for you and for your friends too. I'll share with you a parting blessing. It's the blessing that Paul shared with the Corinthians. After his long ministry and relationship with him, he saw what worked and what didn't work. What did work was sharing the Lamb of God. And he has this confidence: "I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." May Jesus, your Lamb of God, give you that confidence and so bless you. Amen. Please stand. We join together to confess our faith, the faith that the Holy Spirit has worked and strengthened in our hearts. We do so with the words of the Nicene Creed.
on page 10 in the worship booklet.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as our offerings are collected. Our worship continues with the prayer of the church and the Lord's Prayer. You'll find the Lord's Prayer printed on page 11. Our sister in the faith, Carol Metzler, has asked that we remember her as she continues her struggle with cancer. So we will include her in our prayers. Let us pray. Dear merciful Father, gracious God, you sent your Son, the Word made flesh, to call us to yourself. Help us to hear your call and to follow where you led. Through Jesus Christ, your Son. We thank you, merciful Father, that you have given your one and only Son as the sacrifice for our sin. Daily give us grace to receive the fruits of his redeeming work. with thanksgiving and daily follow in his way. We ask that you would give us strength to trust our promises, especially that he is our Lamb of God, who has fully and freely paid for our sins. We ask that you would let his love rule in our hearts and give us purpose, purpose of glorifying you in everything we do, and purpose of sharing you with our friends and with our families. We ask that you bless the good news that you have shared with us and that we have the privilege of entrusting to our friends and family as well. Dear Heavenly Father, you hear us in all things. You watched as your Son suffered physically on this earth. You saw how he suffered and how he experienced pain. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to find great comfort in knowing that you know what it's like for people that you love to be in pain. And so we ask that you bless us as we pray for those in our lives who are experiencing physical pain and emotional pain. This morning, dear Heavenly Father, we entrust to your care Carol Metzler and her family. We ask that you be with her husband, Dennis, and her and their family as she continues to go through cancer treatments. We ask that if news is not very good for her, that you would remind her of your great love for her. We ask that you give her the courage to endure and the patience to endure. Help her and all of us to remember that in all things your will is done and that your name will be glorified, and that in the end we get to stand with you and with Job with perfect, sinless bodies forever in heaven. So please be with our sister in the faith. We also ask that you hear us as we join together to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. At this point, we continue with our worship by making our preparations to receive the sacrament. We do so with the liturgies on page 11. Please stand. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right, so true.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. In the past, he spoke to us through the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, who is the radiance of his glory. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever. Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
worship continues with the song of thanksgiving on the bottom of page 13. Please stand. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his holy word and in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated for our closing hymn, stanzas 1 and 5 of hymn 82. Good morning. Again, may the Lamb of God go with you to remind you that he carries your burdens. He takes away your sin. May God give you great confidence in your Lamb of God, your Savior, Jesus. Welcome to our worship guests. It was nice to meet some of you for the first time and others to see you again. I pray that God blesses the good news of the Lamb of God in your hearts and in your lives. There's a lot going on in the weekly news. Please take a look at that. The very first item you'll see is an update on our congregational meeting and of our church council meeting. So please start there, take a look at that. And do please get January 29th on your calendars if it's not there already. That's going to be our voters meeting, congregation meeting, and call meeting. There's a bright yellow sign-up sheet. Its twin is in the back by the clipboards. We're going to have a lunch along with the voters meeting immediately after the second service. We will eat and meet as we go through some of the ministry reports, so prayerfully the meeting will go a little quickly so that we can
spend a lot of time with Pastor Buchholz and on calling for our second pastor. So take a look at this sign-up sheet and do get January 29th, please, on your agendas and on your church and on your calendars. A number of you have said thank you for the big treasurer's report. You have also said, please give us the simplified report still. And so this is what the simplified treasurer's report looks like. This just tracks member offerings as opposed to where we were budgeted. So if you like the simple report, please take a look at this. We made mention in the sermon about a Friendship Sunday that's coming up. We have a number of weeks to prepare for that, and the Board of Outreach and Board of Worship will prepare you for that. Your job this week is very simple. All you need to do is identify someone. So how do you know if someone in your life needs Jesus? There are a lot, there's information and guidance in here. Week one, just identify someone. You don't have to do anything other than think about that person, mark that person, and pray for that person. So please take a look at this to get us ready for February 12th, which will be our Friendship Sunday. And again, we will rejoice that Jesus enjoys calling us his friends, and then we have a friend to share with our friends as well. So Friendship Sunday preparation, please take a look at the insert in your worship booklet. Those are the announcements that I have for you. I enjoyed worshiping with you today, and I look forward to saying hi to you out in the lobby. At 9:30, we'll start our Bible studies. We will continue the book of James in here, and Mr. David Matthews will continue lifestyle witnessing. So if you want to gear up for Friendship Sunday, please see Mr. Matthews over in the Luther room. God bless your day. Please feel free to visit with one another before you are ushered out.